This episode is brought to you by Heidy. Imagine kicking back while a HIPAA-compliant AI scribe writes your soap notes for free. Yes, you heard us right. Heidy is free. I'm Dr. Tom, Heidi's CEO and founder, and we started Heidy to stop clinicians wasting their life on clinical documentation. Heidy transforms your consult babble into crisp, clear soap notes, personalizing itself with every edit. One day, Heidy will be your AI resident, looking through research, explaining plans, and doing anything you don't want to. If you currently pay for an AI scribe in your practice, you should swap to Heidy. We'll even credit you for anything you've already paid. Dive into the description for the link and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town. Sign up and watch Heidy work its magic, all for free, because you've got better things to do.
Change Healthcare was hacked. Income, prior authorizations, and pharmacy benefits froze. What happened and what can we learn from this? Hey, this is Brad Block, host of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. This is a personal and professional development podcast for physicians where we have experts on the show that try to teach us everything we should have been learning while we were memorizing Krebs cycle. Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about that Change Healthcare hack and fiasco that came afterwards. For today's expert, we have Dr. Terry Adiram, and she's a physician executive, academic clinician, and health policymaker who's held executive positions with the Biden-Harris administration, including leading the military health system as a federal health policymaker and within academic medicine. She is a clinical professor of pediatrics and prevention medicine and biostatistics at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, and she's practiced pediatric emergency medicine for over 25 years. Most recently, as if that wasn't all enough, most recently, she oversaw and led deployment efforts for two large healthcare systems, most recently for the Department of the Veterans Affairs. And so she has a comprehensive perspective on health information as a clinician, policymaker, and healthcare executive. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. And thank you for having me. This may not seem to be such a compelling topic for physicians, but it's so critical that we keep this on our radar and we know what to do. So I thank you for focusing on it.
For some healthcare, and I don't know how some people, I guess we'll get into that, came out of it unscathed. And some people were, practices were just absolutely debilitated. Like they almost had to close because of what happened. So before we get into these, let's just talk about what happened. So let's start with just who are the players involved? So who is and what is Change Healthcare?
Change Healthcare is a provider of services, and specifically for the sake of this particular cyber incident, they provide revenue cycle management and pharmacy services, you know, software that's meant to expedite communication between providers, payers, and they also have other software that expedites communication with patients. There is a subsidiary of United Health Group. So if you've been reading the media, it talks about United Health and specifically their Optum unit.
Wait, hold on. Because that's a little confusing for me. Optum is like, they're in my area. They're a medical practice. They're like a multi-specialty group. That's Optum. And so they're owned by an insurance company.
Correct.
And so Change Healthcare is like the intermediary between the practice, Optum, and the insurance company, United Healthcare?
Right. Well, actually what happened was United Health Group a couple of years ago purchased Change Healthcare. So they're part of, they're a subsidiary of. They didn't purchase the company just for communication between Optum and United Health, the insurer. They really wanted to provide these services across the whole healthcare system.
To other people as well. And so one of the things they do is they process claims. They don't process claims, but they communicate the claims?
No. They process claims. They do prior authorizations. In the pharmacy, for pharmacy, you know, they do that validation of what the patient's, you know, what their coverage is, because there's so many different health plans and so many different health plans with our policies within health plans that you need a rapid way to be able to determine what the patient needs to pay for their medications.
So I can see the perspective of the company. Vertical integration would be ideal, right? But from the perspective of, like, I don't know, antitrust law and competition, it seems like this vertical integration is a problem for competition, because now I'm using something to bill Blue Cross that's owned by United Healthcare. And I don't know, to me, just it's just there seem to be it's a problem for me as a physician. I can't own a lab and then send patients to that lab because of the conflict of interest, but they can do that.
Right. I'm certain that in 2022, when United Health Group purchased Change Healthcare, it had to go through whatever process and review and was determined. I don't know the facts. I'm not an attorney and I probably wasn't tracking it in 2022, but I'm sure they had to, you know, undergo whatever processes to make sure that they were following all rules and regulations with regard to the acquisition.
I'm just picturing lobbyists like whispering in ears and, you know. So then what happened with this hack?
Well, the hack likely happened on February 20th. It became public, or I should say United Health Group reported this on February 21st. So this was a month ago that this first happened. And of course, they couldn't keep it a secret because it shut down like all their platforms that provided revenue cycle management and the pharmacy services. And what happened was, some of your listeners may not know exactly what a ransomware attack is, but bad actors, cyber criminals, deliver a type of malware into the IT systems. There's vulnerability in the system. They introduce this malware, which prevents access to the system and to the data, typically by encrypting files so that Change Healthcare or anybody else could not get access to that data. And then the cyber criminals say, okay, we'll release your data if you give us money. And the cyber criminals were reportedly, their name is ALHPV or Black Cat. They've done this before in other industries and they go by other names.
They call themselves HPV?
ALHPV. Right. Or Black Cat.
Interesting. Healthcare has nothing to do with HPV. Okay.
No, it has nothing to do with healthcare. They've done it sectors, apparently. Or a criminal group of hackers that did this, and they infiltrated the Change Healthcare systems. Reportedly, it affected 115 of the Change Healthcare platforms, necessitating them taking it all offline. And the impacts, as we said earlier, were to the revenue cycle management software and to the pharmacy services software. And as you can imagine, healthcare practices, whether you're a small practice, a hospital, or big health system, rely on this software, could no longer electronically verify insurance status, work on prior authorizations, bill for services, and the pharmacies could not verify insurance. And the impact on people, on patients, was if you went to your pharmacy and they couldn't verify how much you had to pay, pharmacies had to ask them to pay the full price and get reimbursed. So you can imagine, you know, if it's an amoxicillin prescription at $10, that's not such a big deal. But a lot of medications are very expensive, as you know, $1,500 out of pocket could be a huge burden on a patient.
Yeah, I would imagine many patients, or probably most patients, just said, you know what, for now, keep it. And I'll get it at another time. And, you know, that certainly is for some critical medications out there is going to be a big problem.
And the other thing, too, is that it really disrupted operations in medical practices and at hospitals and in the health systems. They couldn't do prior authorizations and they couldn't bill. So you can imagine that this would impact their cash flows. And if you're a small practice that relies on the payments coming in and you're operating on very thin margins, you can't pay your personnel and you can't pay your vendors.
Yeah, it's not like we've got tons of cash reserves, right? Like most of the time, these practices are, they're cash flowing. Like it's a zero sum, right? You're not like holding large amounts of cash in your company. You mean, certainly you take some off as savings, but you know, most of the time, this is all flowing through.
Right, and even big health systems and some of the bigger hospitals operate on such thin margins and really rely on that those their cash flows, you know, to operate. So this was hugely disruptive. Though interestingly, I find this part interesting, is that reportedly Change Healthcare did pay a $22 million ransom to Black Cat, They did this through a Bitcoin blockchain, which was picked up by people who, I guess, observed these things around March 1st. And they also, apparently, the hackers bragged about it on a cyber criminal forum. And what I thought was funny is that they had associates that were expecting part of that payout that didn't get it. And they complained on these criminal forums. So there's like no honesty among thieves, I guess. But the bottom line is United Healthcare worked on restoring these platforms. If they didn't pay the ransom, I mean, this is something that I understand could take like months to fix. And so the reason why ransomware is very effective is because companies and so on pay it because they want their data back because it's hugely disruptive. But then again, it promotes this type of attack. And you can imagine that, you know, if some criminals get a really huge payout in healthcare, they're probably
salivating for more. Yeah.
Correct. So it was a huge, huge cyber attack, one of the biggest in healthcare.
So how many people or practices, whatever numbers you can give me, were affected by this?
Well, I did try and research this because I wanted to get to exact numbers. But what I did find is that Change Healthcare is perhaps the largest healthcare revenue cycle management service provider. They brag on their website that they do over 15 billion transactions a year, and they touch 1 in 3 patients. Now, the American Hospital Association has been pretty active since this happened, and they did a survey recently, actually, I think this week or last week, of over 1,000 of their member hospitals, and they estimated through this survey that about 94% of hospitals were affected. And about 75% of those said there were serious impacts to patient care. And 40% reported delays in processing of health insurance requirements. Most of these hospitals did talk about cash flow issues, as you would expect, and that a lot of them were using workarounds that they didn't find to be satisfactory. So at least from the hospital standpoint, it sounds like a good number of them have been affected. And note that there are other third-party type services like Change Healthcare that are, you know, all over healthcare, and they also, you know, are vulnerable to this kind of attack. So this should be a warning shot.
More vulnerable, because I would think being under the umbrella of United Health Group, you're going to have some robust cybersecurity in place.
Don't assume it. Don't assume it. I mean, this should be a huge warning to the whole healthcare industry. And you're right, if you're a smaller practice, you may not have the resources, you know, that a larger organization has. The other impacts too, and the numbers, we don't know how many smaller practices, but as we mentioned, they were smaller practices run on smaller margins. So they really put their practices at risk.
Are you looking to diversify your investment portfolio and maximize your returns? By learning short-term investing skills, you can yield higher returns at compressed speeds by creating income on a daily and weekly basis. Today's sponsor, Lightspeed Investing, has amassed over a decade's worth of success and experience in this field to teach you how to leverage the futures and commodity financial markets. Inspired by the billionaire natural gas trader, John Arnold, Lightspeed Investing has built a proprietary training and educational platform. For more information, connect with President and CEO Philip J. Hawk Chan on LinkedIn, where you can start your journey towards financial freedom and abundance at lightspeed rates, like many medical professionals already have. I know practices that were high risk of going under. So then the question is, what did Change Healthcare and their parent company, right, United Health Group, do to make things right? Like, let's just start with, what was their initial response?
So their initial response was to acknowledge that there was a cyber attack on February 21st. So they did what was required of them to say that this was happening. It looks like they had a page where they were giving updates, and it looks like their first notification was that all those systems were down and it's going to take us to the end of the day to fix it. Well, once you figure out what this was, clearly it was going to take more than a day to do that. I do want to mention what was really nice in looking through this to see what happened when the American Hospital Association, I have no affiliation with them or relationship, but they did provide a nice webpage with information about the incident, recommendations for what their hospitals can do, and a list of resources. So I think, you know, at the very start, there was an attempt to provide information. At some point, United Health Group announced that the electronic payments platforms were coming back up. That was about March 15th. That was a couple of weeks after this incident happened, or 3 weeks after the incident happened, a week before their pharmacy services had come up. So it did take a few weeks, but knowing that ransom was probably paid soon after this happened, it's not surprising they were able to get their systems somewhat back up. Understand that in order to get their systems up, not only do they need their data, but they also had to do the forensics. They had to determine where the vulnerabilities were.
They couldn't just get back and running immediately, right? You don't just like reboot your machine and you're up and running. Yeah.
Right, right. Unfortunately. The other thing that they did was that they provided an advance to affected providers of about $2 billion. Now, I come from the federal government, you know, helping to lead a $54 billion healthcare system. So $2 billion doesn't sound like much, but especially the scope of this. So I don't know if the $2 billion was sufficient, but what happened was is that the federal government became activated, accelerated advance payments to Medicare providers. Then, as you know, the federal government manages Medicare. They do not manage Medicaid, which is a state program, or private providers. They strongly encourage Medicaid and private payers to advance payments. And they also strongly suggested that they relax prior authorization requirements in affected institutions. So there was a lot of activity to try and, you know, support and buttress the healthcare system. Whether it was enough, as you said, you had knowledge of practices that were really struggling. So,
and as you said, $2 billion. You said Change Healthcare manages how much per year?
They get $2 billion. They manage 15 billion transactions. I don't know the...
Yeah, 15 billion transactions a year. And yeah, so just to give an idea of the size and scope. So, okay. So United Health Group is the parent company. They're the ones that are holding the money. And currently, no?
No. The software facilitates transactions from the healthcare providers to, you know, payers back and forth. So it's not just United Health Group, but it's other payers.
They're one of the payers. During their hack, people weren't able to get paid by them, among other people. So they're holding on to this money as like a side effect of this hack. I'm not implying anything. Well, the implication is that they're earning interest on this money that they're not paying out because of something that was done to them that was not there.
I hear you.
So like this $2 billion, yes. Okay. So I'm just throwing that out there for people to think about. Okay. So they did front some money, but I am familiar with some practices who then had to get loans from outside places because it was inadequate for them to make payroll. And advancing Medicare, there's precedent for that, right? During COVID, that's something that the government did, is they said, we'll advance pay you. We know what we tend to pay you. So we're going to do that. And then later we just won't. So it's like a loan.
Right. And then, you know, they can do this through things called 1115 waivers, and good for them, good on the federal government to do, you know, whatever levers they have to help, you know, healthcare institutions and practices and so on. So, but it's, you know, clearly there's other parties involved, private parties and Medicaid too. So it's perhaps not sufficient, right, as you articulated. So,
what has Change Healthcare now said in its defense? Like, what statements have they put out there aside from, we've been hacked, we paid them, we sorted it out?
And, you know, to be honest, I haven't seen statements where they defended themselves. I can imagine that they're just very objectively saying, you know, we were attacked. Probably it is not our fault. You know, we were attacked. We're sorry this happened. You know, they paid a pretty big ransom to get their data back. So they were trying really hard to fix this. But there's probably more that they could have talked about, you know, could have talked about, we're going to find our vulnerabilities, we're going to patch them, we're going to work harder, we're going to do other things, right? So hopefully in the coming days or weeks, we're going to hear more about it, especially as the forensics happen, and they could share that information with other software providers so that we can patch those vulnerabilities up, right?
And this is a wake-up call to all of us, right? So what are the lessons learned for physicians and practices and healthcare systems?
Right. For everybody, first of all, you need to prepare, you need to be aware, and you need to have backup plans, all right? So what do I mean by this? I think practices and healthcare institutions should check their liability insurance to see if they cover cyber attacks. So I'm sure a lot of practices did, and they, you know, wanted to get payments, you know, for this happening. But you need to also check whether it covers first party attacks, such as a direct attack to like your EHR, or even third party. So, and that's an issue that I know the federal government is really starting to pay attention to now, right? There are also insurance companies that will provide you, if your liability insurance doesn't cover cyber attacks, you can get coverage for cyber attacks and make sure that it covers first party and third party attacks to protect your practice and your institution.
And actually, in this situation, we wouldn't need them to cover the money. We would just need them to front us some money while it's all getting sorted out, right? Like, you're not asking the insurance company to pay you. You're just asking them for a loan while you're waiting to get paid by this other company that was under a cyber attack. So that shouldn't be that expensive.
Right. Well, the other piece of this too is, let's say you're a big healthcare system, this data hack happened. Who is liable for the data being released? You could be sued, okay? I'm hospital system X. My third-party vendor had this happen to them. All of my patients' data, because remember, there's HIPAA, and you're responsible for safeguarding patient data. Now, this happens. And I understand, too, that the hackers not only got Change Healthcare data, but Change Healthcare partners with all kinds of other systems that have patient data. So this, you know, could have all kinds of implications. As a healthcare institution, you not only have to protect your data that you collect within your institution and your EHR, but also you need to start thinking about the third-party vendors, whether you determining whether you're liable for that or not. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a cyber expert.
Cybersecurity, but we need to be having these conversations, figuring out what is even out there as a product. There might not even be products to protect and insure against this stuff.
Right. And the other thing too is, I really think it's important that even small practices to large healthcare systems really look at their training of all of their personnel, because this ransomware came in through a vulnerability, right? Oftentimes what happens, you know, you get an email and you know, you think it's somebody you know, and you click there and it lets in that malware. So you need to really be cognizant. Us as individuals, practices, and healthcare systems in order to protect your systems from being attacked.
Yeah, it's really inconvenient that I can't manage my podcast while I'm in my office hours because it's all blocked, but this is why.
Good.
I mean, that's why, right? Like my practice, like there is very limited access to outside internet to make it less likely that someone's going to inadvertently click on something and open it up, and there you've got your malware.
There's inconveniences to this. I mean, there are things, you know, I hate two-factor authentication, but that's a way to protect your system, right? I come from the Department of Defense, right? I worked there for several years. And using the electronic health record in that healthcare system as a part of a national security agency, which has protections that are far greater than what you would see in the healthcare system, what are the trade-offs? The trade-offs are the system is a little slower, right? And it's harder to get into the system because you have all these different authentications and so on. But we have to be thinking about that in the healthcare industry. What is our patient data worth, right? And keeping it safe.
It's like the airline industry, right? We've got to take our shoes off now because there was that one guy with the shoe bomb. It's always this trade-off of convenience versus security. We want it to be convenient.
This is not a one-time thing. I mean, I'm certain that not only are the cyber criminals doing this, but also bad nation states, China and Russia, are really trying hard to get into our systems, right? And if there are vulnerabilities, they're going to get in easily, right? And they'll just keep trying and trying.
Yeah. And I'm sure AI is a tool that they're going to leverage, right? Like, we worry about AI, and a lot of people are worried about AI, like, and we've talked about another show, like becoming sentient and taking over the world. But no, it's that it's going to be, it's a, just a tool that can be used for good and for evil. And it's just another arms race, the AI arms race. Okay, so just one more question before we go, because I saw that the Department of Health and Human Services and the Office of Civil Rights are both investigating the incident. So should Change Healthcare or United Health Group, should they be concerned about these investigations? I mean, what could come of them?
Well, I think United Healthcare should be more concerned about the impacts to the healthcare system and in protecting their patient data. But to your point, this is amongst the biggest data breaches to hit healthcare. And therefore, it should be expected that the Department of Health and Human Services, the federal government, is going to investigate this as a violation of HIPAA. And the office that does that enforcement is the Office of Civil Rights in HHS. They're responsible for enforcing HIPAA. And they can impose significant fines based on whatever their findings are, probably budget does to United Health Group. But the affiliate of the hacker said that in their penetration of Change Healthcare Network, they had accessed data of numerous other healthcare firms that worked with Change Healthcare, as I mentioned earlier. And if that's true, it creates the additional risk that the affiliate hacker still possesses sensitive medical information. So all of this needs to be investigated, which I'm sure they're doing. Because HIPAA has limits on what is considered liability, in recent years, from what I understand and what I've read, there's been efforts to strengthen data security, especially of healthcare data. And as you might expect, additional protections would cost these companies money. Guess what happened? I told you we're going to talk about lobbying again. You know, they probably have lobbied really hard over the last several years and pressured Congress and the federal government from instituting, you know, in additions, you know, changes in regulations and strengthening, enforcing these organizations to strengthen their cybersecurity posture. But I'm certain after this, it got a lot of publicity.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of blowback. Yeah.
Right. That HHS is going to look at their regulations, determine where there needs to be strengthening. I bet anything, just having worked in federal government, and they'll try and determine solutions. And I'm sure, too, Congress will likely want to hold hearings, and they'll look at whether any new statutes need to be passed in order to protect patient data. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this incident really highlights the interdependencies within the health information ecosystem. And it's a call to action to ensure that our data is protected and that incidents like this are few and far between. So I think there's going to be more to come on this. We're still early.
Is it also a call to action about the problem of so much being owned and managed by so few? Right? Like, you've got these couple titans out there, and I feel like they're coalescing more and more and more, and it's breeding less and less competition and making these vulnerabilities, right? If this was someone who wasn't controlling a third of transactions, it would have been such a big deal. Isn't there a call to action there?
Yeah. Well, I hope that the powers that be are looking at that and determining whether or not that in of itself creates a vulnerability to our entire, you know, sector. We can't sustain incidents like this regularly. So yeah, I hope so. I hope it is a call to action to look at those kind of things.
Well, thank you, Dr. Terry Adiram. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. This has been a great overview and actually in-depth account of what happened with Change Healthcare. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Block, for inviting me.
Thanks again from Heidi. Elevate your practice with a free AI scribe, zero cost, HIPAA compliant, and time saving. Ready to swap? we've got you covered for past AI Scribe expenses. Head to HeidiHealth.com, get started, and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town.
Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means you either fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please share it or like it or comment on a social media post or write us a 5-star review, something. It would really help me out. And maybe what you learned from this episode can help someone else too. The views expressed in this episode are those of the interviewer and interviewee and don't represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting make it sound like I'm talking directly to you, this is not a doctor-patient relationship, and this is not medical advice or financial advice or really any advice. Thank us again for listening to The Physician's Guide to Doctoring.